Well, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from, and just a little bit of background on your story.
I'm Shasta. I'm from New Hampshire. I've been an addict for, I don't know, a better part of 12 years. Really, really bad. Led me down really rough road. I did some things not proud of, and I've been sober for a while now. And I'm
What's a
doing
while?
really good. Like 18 months.
18 months. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I
it's
did
still fairly fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I did a year. I did a year in jail. Like I said, I did some things I'm not proud of, and you know, I didn't. For me, like, I didn't count my sober time until I got out of jail. You know, because that's the test. And I mean, I'm not perfect by any means, but you know, I continue doing what I got to do.
Yeah. Well, listen, number one, none of us is perfect. We know that for shit sure.
Yeah.
Right? But all right. So, Shasta, it didn't just start this way, right? You said this has been happening now. It's been a better part of your life and stuff. But let's kind of start from the beginning. Like, where are you from? Tell us a little bit about, you know, just a smidge about the family life growing up, and what led you down the path ultimately, that you kind of look back now and say, hey, that maybe I could have made some better choices.
Well, I've been born and raised in New Hampshire. I did live down in Mississippi for a little bit. I have a big family. I have 16 siblings,
16.
Two brothers. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I got two brothers, 14 sisters. You know, we grew up, you know, white trash, poor, you know, family. But we did what we had to do to survive. So, you know, I had a rough childhood, but, you know, so everybody goes through their stuff. I got three kids. So, I don't know. I come, like, my parents were divorced. My dad wasn't around much. Like I said, having lots of kids. He has lots of kids. So, you know, it just kind of, I wasn't myself. I don't know. I couldn't find, like, happiness, even though, like, I worked and, you know, I had a family. I don't know. It was hard. And then I was in a relationship. I had my girls young, my two daughters, Paige and Lily. I was pregnant at 17, had Paige at 18. And then I had Lily at 21. And shortly after that is when I started with Percocets and Oxycontins, which eventually led to using heroin. I was big into heroin. You know, I dabbled in everything, but heroin was the big thing.
This is when you were around 21, you said? This is when you started?
Yeah, about 21, 22.
Yeah.
And, you know, it numbed everything. You know, growing up, I learned, you know, I'm very good at detaching myself from feelings, and that it helped, made it easier. So, you know, I like the feeling. I like that it made it so easy to numb everything, and it just went from that. After.
So can I ask a question before you continue?
Yep.
You said that you were looking for happiness. Is that is that accurate?
I don't know. I had an empty feeling. You know, growing up in a big family, like I said, my dad wasn't around. I didn't get along with my mom. You know, it was just, you know, I kind of felt like the outcast. I felt like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So it kind of continued. Like, I don't know. I was never happy, even though, like, I at one point had, like, the perfect family, you know. I had a nice house, kid, great job, but it wasn't enough. Like, I felt like I was wearing a mask to someone that I didn't want to be. I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, that's just how it was. So, you know, it got to the point where I felt like once I started using, I was like, I feel like myself. I feel like I can be myself. I can, you know, I thought I was happy. I wasn't happy, but I thought I was, you know. Mm-hmm. But it made it easier.
So do you think so you said that the drugs kind of gave you the ability to numb, right? To numb.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it that you were trying to numb?
Well, just there was a lot of stuff. Growing up, there was a lot of things that we as a family and as siblings went through. Things that, you know, just, I don't want, it caused trauma, but, you know, it was just hard to, you know, I didn't want to deal with that, the emotions of that. Lost a lot of loved ones on the way, which numbing became a part of that. Like, my sister's first kid, she lost him at 4 days old. And that was when I was in like high school, and I never grieved that. I never dealt with it. So that kind of like lingered on into my adulthood. And as I started growing up and got into like the 20s, like I did that. I never dealt with anything. Like something happened, I lost someone, I just pushed it way down.
Yeah.
So when I say numbing, that's, you know, I was numbing pains from the past, pains from the present, all that sort of thing.
Gotcha. So around 21, 22, what is the deal? I mean, do you just have friends that are using, or you just say, you know what, I want to try this, or did you get hurt and then prescribed?
I was dating, a guy, and, you know, I wasn't really happy in my relationship with my kid's father at the time. I just felt like I wasn't enough, even though I was trying really hard to, like, hold the family together, take care of the kids. So this guy used, and, you know, he's like, try it, and it, you know, I did, and then one thing led from there, and it just was off and running after that.
So how long were you using for?
Like I said, I've been battling this for like at least 12 years.
Wow.
Or more. I mean, I had some sober time, you know, I've tried to get clean before, you know, didn't take, and then, you know, kept trying. Intake, and I don't know, you know, I think I wasn't ready. You know, once you get sober after you've been high for so long, you're like you miss that numb from everything. You miss what it does to you, you know.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, it kind of sounds like you found something that was filling that missing void.
Yeah, pretty
even
much.
Even though it wasn't really filling the void.
Yeah.
You know, it was just kind of over it.
You know, you think that, like, having, like, a family and kids and stuff like that, you think, like, that would be fulfillment enough. And, I mean, I love my kids. I'm so proud of my kids. But I felt like I was still missing something, or, you know, that I wasn't, I don't know. That's not who I was supposed to be. I always felt like I was wearing, like I said, many masks when I tried to get sober.
Yeah. I think that what you're saying right now, I mean, I think that the vulnerability of you being willing to share this, I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are in or experiencing similar circumstances maybe to different degrees. Maybe people who are not suffering with addiction, but have very much in line understanding with this like quest for happiness. Like they have the family, they've got the children, they've got the house, they've got all the things they were told they needed to like be the whole person, but yet there's still something inside of them that's not being fulfilled, you know? And I think it's really brave of you to admit that, because I know for a fact there are people out there right now who are feeling the same way. And again, their vice may not be addiction, but they're not acknowledging it. So I think that's really, really brave of you to admit that.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, you know, even being sober now, like I go through challenges, it's really, really hard, but you know, I just, kind of fast forward as I got into my addiction use, I was in an unhealthy relationship and I didn't want my daughters to see, the worst of it. So I made a choice to, walk away, and it killed me. Absolutely killed me. So, you know, this time I didn't talk to him for 10 years and it was hard. Put me in a place I can't even describe. So when I got out of jail,
let me just understand this. So you were in a relationship that was unhealthy. You walked away from that relationship for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. I was in a, so my daughter's father, we were together and we broke up and I started dating the guy that I first used with. And that was the unhealthy relationship. And I had my girls part-time. We did joint custody and stuff like that. When that relationship got dangerous and out of control, that's when I made the choice to walk away from my girls because they weren't safe, you know? So, I don't know if that makes sense, but it was because of that relationship and, you know, what it became and how toxic it was that I had made the choice because they weren't safe. I wasn't even safe, you know, wasn't safe for myself. With him, we brought out the worst in each other. So, like I said, they weren't safe. So I had chose to, you know, leave them with their father. And I didn't talk to them for 10 years. Recently started talking to him again.
Wow. Man, that's really hard.
Yeah.
How have they been?
It was a hard thing.
Yeah. How has their response been?
Well, you know, later on, I had a son. I was 27, and I tried to hold it together, get clean for him. I had briefly talked to them a little bit when I was first pregnant with him. And then I stopped talking to him because I was still having a hard time staying clean. And so I got out of jail and I happened to Facebook my oldest daughter, Paige, and she's been my biggest support, really. My middle daughter, she's still very upset. We don't talk much. The first time we talked, there was a lot of she was yelling. I was listening. But, you know, Paige has been my support. And I know with Lily, she just, you know, she said something to me when she was yelling at me. And again, like, I just listened. She had every right to be mad. You know, she was hurt. She didn't understand why I couldn't say no to the drugs. So she said to me, she's like, you know, if you ever use again and go back to jail, she's like, I'll never talk to you again. And that's kind of hung with me this time, because even though I don't talk to Paige like all the time, we talk like once a week, you know, whether it's, you know, messaging or FaceTime or whatever, but, you know, it's, I never in a million years, if you had asked me if I ever thought I'd talk to my girls again, never, ever would I ever think that I would ever be able to talk to them again. So to talk to them, you know, even a little bit is just amazing. And I'm so proud of them. You know, they're such great kids. My son too, he's great. Working on trying to get to see him and maybe some visitation. He's with his father in Texas. He's still young. He's six. He doesn't really understand, I don't think, what's going on. So, you know, that's a work in progress, and it's hard. You know, it's hard not seeing him. It's hard not talking to him. You know, I miss him a lot. But I just know, like, if I go back down that path, I'm not going to have that chance at all.
Yeah. So would you say that this has been, like, the catalyst for you as far as, like, finding something that's going to really kind of, like, keep you in check?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Like I said, I keep that in my mind, you know, as far as, you know, I want to talk to my kids. I want to know what's going on in their life. I want to be a part, you know, whether it's all the time or a little bit. So I hold on, I try to hold on to that and remember like what I'm fighting for.
Yeah.
So.
It sounds to me, you know, like, it sounds like there's this, like, storm inside of you, you know, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
Oh, would you say that's accurate or no?
Yeah, that's very accurate.
Hmm.
I mean, it's always going to be a storm, a battle, whatever you want to call it, always. You know, because you battle with yourself, your demons, you know, things that you've done. You know, and it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I think that, again, whether it's, again, no matter what somebody's vice is, whether it's drugs or it doesn't matter. I mean, the demons are always, always there haunting us, you know, always, always just waiting for our misstep.
Yeah.
You know, and they prey on our weakness.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
Being human, you know, it's again, everybody's fighting these demons. What has been some of the strongest or best things that you've been able to do to overcome, you know, any of these temptations? Or I know you mentioned, you know, something that your daughter had said to you as far as like keeping you in check and keeping you on track, but what other things have you been able to accomplish on your own that you've been able to like say like, okay, like this works for me?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time since I've had my own place. So I have my own place. I've had it for a few months now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I got it 2 months after I got out of jail. I worked really, really hard, 3 jobs. So having that in being able to do it like on my own, you know, no one else, not needing anybody else. That helps too a lot. Also, you know, I do kickboxing, as like a coping skill. Sick. It helps. Yeah, it's, you know, it helps a lot. And then, you know, I try to, you know, volunteer with animals. I'm trying to go into a career with something to do with animals. It's kind of my passion. So that helps too, you know, kind of giving back, you know, after everything that I've
done.
There
is a cat taking a bath behind you.
Yeah. She just wanted to get on camera for a minute, you know?
That's so funny. That's incredible. So what would you say is like one of, for anyone out there who's been struggling, who kind of knows your story, I mean, congratulations. You said it's been 18 months, right?
Yep.
What is some advice that you feel comfortable being able to give other people who are also struggling with addiction?
Don't give up, you know, don't, you know, feel like you have no value or that you can't do it, you know, because you can. I mean, people are going to have relapses. People are going to, you know, flip up. Things are going to happen. You know, don't let that set you down, because it happens. Unfortunately, it's not an excuse. It's not a reason, but, you know, it does happen. And don't beat yourself up. Don't make it make you feel like that's the end of the world, because it's not. Like, you can, you know, pick yourself back up and continue moving forward, you know. You know, don't let that be that one, you know, lapse in judgment be what brings you back to the craziness, you know. Just, you know, keep going. Don't give up on yourself ever, you know, because you're worth it. Whether people think you aren't or not, you know, you are worth it no matter what. Don't care who you are.
Do you really believe that?
What? That they're worth it? Me? Yeah, I do. I really do. I really do. You know, I believe everybody's worth it. You know, it doesn't matter what you do or what you've done. You know, unfortunately, drugs makes us do bad things, makes us turn into people that, you know, world thinks are horrible people, and we're not. We're actually all really good people. You know, it just, that's the nature of drugs. And I believe everybody's worth it that uses, you know. They just need to find that and believe that themselves. And it's hard. I mean, there are some days that I wonder if I'm worth it, you know, still. But, you know, that's kind of like the old me, you know, the old demon, you know, sitting on your shoulder being like, you're not worth it. You know, you just got to push past it and really try to believe that you are. You know,
I don't think people understand the battle that that people who are suffering with addiction go through on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute by minute basis. I don't think people understand that, you know, and because they don't understand that, it's easy for them to pass judgment and categorize and label people a certain way, you know.
For sure.
I think that also, depending on who we are, I don't know, sometimes I just believe that the louder the demon screams in your ear, you know, the more valuable you have to understand you are, because they wouldn't be working that hard on you if you weren't worth more.
Yeah, I agree. 100%, I agree.
You know, so
I absolutely agree.
I mean, if you're hearing those whispers, you know, you have to. You know, somebody told me one time, they said, Mike, sometimes you gotta look him in the eye and spit.
Yeah. pretty much, yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's something that, like, I've carried with me for a long time, because, you know, the whispers and the lies, they're always going to be there, you know. I think something that I've learned for myself is really trying to understand where those voices come from.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because I do not believe that we are born self-destructive.
No, absolutely not. You know, it's created somehow. I don't know how, but it is, you know, somehow created, you know, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that for everybody, but I think that, you know, we grow up and those voices, I just cannot believe that they would be our own. I'm a faith guy. I believe in God. So I can't believe that God would put our voice inside of our head that says you suck. You just don't believe that. You know, I mean, that you suck has to come from somewhere else. And I think identifying that and isolating that and trying to figure it out and understand it is kind of a key to part of the battle. I don't think it's the answer, but I think it's a key to understanding that those voices are not put in our heads by us. They're put in our heads by other people or other things or our environment or who knows, you know, it could have been the kid in kindergarten in the sandbox that took your shovel and said, you suck and you don't remember, you know?
Society too, like as a general, especially like once you start using, once you've been arrested, you know, people, like you said, they stereotype. So then like
on top of what you already have or what yourself have created, you got society being like, oh yeah, you're always going to be that person. And it's hard to not listen, but you can't listen because it's just going to bring you down. And I struggle with that all the time. I, I had gotten sentenced a couple weeks ago on old charges from when I first got arrested, but they kind of wanted to see how I was doing, and it ended up going good, but like the papers, the local whatever reposted, you know, my old arrest thing from, you know, over a year ago, and it's just like bringing up that bad, you know, like, oh hey, she's still a bad person, you know, and that, you know, and then people make comments and you just got to ignore it because, like, you know who you are, who you truly are. You just got to find it, somehow.
Every story needs a villain.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if they can't find one, they make one.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I think it's important for us to understand, you know, who we are, what we're about. And not be, you know, susceptible to the labels that are placed on us by the world, you know?
Yeah.
I believe that each one of us, you know, is created and born to be who, you know, we were created to be. And that's different for everyone. You know?
I agree.
But I don't believe that, like, that, you know, any one life is a waste of a life. I think that no matter what's going on in our lives, we always have a choice in the matter.
Yeah. You know?
And that's why it was so important even to do Eddie's video, you know, which was I Choose Hope, because for him, it was really just about this, you know, yes, we understand addiction and we have a greater understanding today than we did 10 years ago about addiction, right? Or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But for him, what it was that really got him through everything was hope.
Yeah.
You know, the hope that things will get better, the hope that things are going to get better, the hope that, you know, today is just today and it's not the whole season. It's just one game, you know.
One day, you know, one day at a time. I mean, that's really what it's about. It's one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, you know.
Yeah.
You can't change what's already happened at all. And, you know, if you hold on to that, you're never going to get better. You got to hope for a better life, like you said. Hope is a big thing.
Hope is huge. You know, I also think that it takes a tremendous amount of willpower, you know, to be able to make, you know, to make the choice to be, you know, to be who you're supposed to be, who you were born to be.
Yeah, I agree. And you got to find it. It's a journey for sure, you know. It's not going to happen tomorrow or even a week from now. It's going to take time, but it, you know, it's a journey. Enjoy the journey, you know, just keep pushing. Just like I said, everybody's worth it. I truly believe that. I believe every person out there is worth it in some way, shape or form, you know?
So Shasta, for people out there who are struggling tonight, you know, with, right, they're on the fence. They're struggling, you know, what is some advice that you can give somebody who's struggling?
It's funny. I have a friend that's struggling and, you know, circumstance of life and things happen and just hold on, you know, I hate to sound like that cliche, like it will get better, but it will get better. And remember, like, I don't know, like, for her and, like, her, you know, as me and her as a friend, like, there is someone out there that cares about you. There is someone out there that's going to be by your side, and just don't give up. You know, if you're struggling, to anybody that, you know, I don't know or is out there or could be watching it, you know, don't give up. Like, you may think no one cares, but, you know, I care. There are people that care, you know, and just hang on. Hang on. It takes, it's one day, like I said, one day, 1 minute, 1 hour, you know, just believe that someone cares about you. You know, we're, as addicts, you know, we're a community, and the biggest thing is just supporting one another, you know, just, you know, being there. And that's what I tell anybody that's struggling. If you don't think anybody cares, you think you're worthless, like, you're not. You're not worthless at all. You are worth it. And there are people that care. You know, just reach out. I know it's hard. I don't even do it well, but just reach out. You know, there are people that care.
So, Shasta, before we go, I want to ask a question. It was, mm-hmm. I was under the impression that it was, you know, this was something that you really, really wanted, you know, that you wanted to get on here and you wanted to share your story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very, I mean, it's evident by 24 episodes of doing this with people from all different mm-hmm. backgrounds that this is important yeah. to me. I believe that everyone mm-hmm. has a story, and I believe that, you know, by sharing stories and building this community, that people can feel a sense of community. And I think yeah. that surrounding yourself with positive people and feeling a sense of community is something that's very, very important for all of our growth. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you put a seed in good soil, you know, and you water it and you give it sunlight, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Why did you want to come on here?
Well, I've watched, I watched quite a few of your episodes. The one you were talking about with Eddie, Justin Martin, I've watched his, a bunch of them. And my biggest reason is to just share my story, because, like, there's so much bad that comes out of, you know, that people see in addiction and people struggling. And I don't think there's enough good. And I think people sharing their story, you know, and getting out there, like, it may not change anybody's life. It may change one person, but, like, just supporting each other, you know, like you said, as a community, you know, that bond, you know, we're all connected. And I just think it's important, you know, for people to get out there. You know, like, some stories are good, some stories are bad, but if we stick together, like, I believe, like, I truly believe we can help each other through it, you know. And I admire what you do. I think it's amazing, getting people's story out there.
I think what you do is amazing, because you're the one, you know, who's battling every single day. And, you know, I have to be 100%, you know, honest and truthful. And I think you know this, and I've said this before. Mm-hmm. Addiction is not, you know, addiction is not one of my vices, you know. So, but this subject yeah. is something that's very, very important to me, you know. And I got a lot of, I have, you know, friends and family and people that I know where addiction has ruined their lives. You know,
yeah.
it's destroyed their lives. And so this is important to me, but you're the warrior. You're the one who's battling every single day. And I want you to know that, like, you know, you are important to this community. Your story is important. And now, tomorrow, 10 minutes from now, a year from now, you know, what you're sharing will affect somebody in a positive way.
Yeah.
It will, because that's what this is all about, you know? And I want to commend you also for doing as well as you're doing. I know that it's, you know, 18 months is still sounds like a long time for some people, but I think you're still fresh. Brand new.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You know, So I want to commend you, and I want you to, like, I would love for you to just, you know, keep us posted on what's going on, the good and the bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only rule that I ever put on this whole I Choose series, Facebook Lives, is that I just want people to be authentic and real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? I agree. 100%. Thank you again for doing this, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you. I mean, you know, I'm going to take this and I'm going to cut it up into little bits and blast it all over the internet and post it in Facebook groups of sobriety. And I'm eventually going to upload the audio for this into a podcast. So you never know whose life, you know, you're going to touch. So I just want to say thank you so much, Shasta, for being a guest on our show. And I would love to just keep in touch if you're okay with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, thank you again. I'm glad that you guys are back up and live. I enjoy watching you guys Thursdays. I think, like I said, I think what you do is amazing. And, you know, it's really awesome to have someone care about this, you know, addiction the way you do, and getting people's stories out there. It's a great thing that you do.
Listen, so I want to thank you for your honesty and your vulnerability to just coming out here and sharing your story. I know it's not easy, you know, putting yourself out there. No. And, you know, it's the internet, so
yeah.
we know what the internet's filled with.
Oh yeah, we do absolutely.
So, but I have to commend you, seriously. I'm very, very honored that you would be interested and just share your story and everything. And I got a lot of love for you, Shasta, and I'm gonna be praying for you and your family and your children. And I would love to just check in from time to time if you're cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great.
All right, cool.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon, right?
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.